My brothers and sisters, on Christmas or during the Christmas season, have you ever knelt before the manger and taken the baby Jesus into your arms and as he's cradled there, prayed to him? And I ask that question in all seriousness because I believe if you did so, if you do so this Christmas, whether tonight or at some point tomorrow when you have a little free time, it will change your celebration of Christmas. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, until the day that Jesus Christ was born, whenever a human being would pray, they would look up into the heavens and they would cry out from their hearts. Until our Blessed Mother Mary, for the first time, a human being looked down when she prayed at heaven lying in her arms. 11 years ago, my sister Kimberly, she was giving birth to her second child, Therese, and she invited me to be there for the delivery. And when I was present there in the hospital room, when the moment of delivery took place, I remembered I was immediately moved to tears, and the thought that crossed my mind was, I've never seen anything so beautiful in my entire life. It was just this spectacular wonder. I thought of the miracle of the feminine body to bear a child, to bring forth this wonder. Every single child is a little miracle. And I remember after they cleaned Therese up and they did those initial tests, and my sister held her for a few minutes and she offered Therese to me. I was so incredibly humbled because I thought how unworthy I am to hold your child. I was also a little worried I might drop the baby. But that I was worried I might drop the child because I thought of how precious this child must be to my sister. My brothers and sisters, imagine that child being God. Imagine holding the wonder of all wonders, the miracle of all miracles in your arms. That's what God offers us at Christmas. My brothers and sisters, why did God send His Son in this way? Many great saints, they've said, God could have sent His child in any way. He could have come as a full-grown man. He could have appeared. No one would have known where He came from, and it wouldn't have mattered. But He chose for His child to come as a little baby. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. We all know this. He is the Redeemer. He came to save us from our sins because we cannot save ourselves. But we believe by faith, and actually recently I was reading through the catechism and I came across this line that I'd never heard before, that when our first parents, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they fell, which is the reason why we needed a Savior, it says that in that moment, trust in their Creator died in their heart. It was because they did not trust God completely that they could fall in that way. But then the catechism says something further. It says from that moment until the end of time, every single sin that is ever committed, it is because at some level we do not truly believe in the goodness of God. Or we would never do that. We would never do anything to offend Him if we really knew how good He truly was. And so from that moment, from the fall of our first parents, God has been trying to break in. Even though He did nothing to merit distrust, He wanted to regain the trust of humanity, even though He did not need to. But in His mercy, He sought to redeem us. And so He appears as an angel to Abraham. He comes in the fiery bush to Moses. He comes on Mount Sinai to the Israelites. He sends kings, He sends prophets, He gives His word. And then finally, they would trust for a little while, then they'd fall back again, they would stray. In the fullness of time, He did something beyond our wildest imaginings. He said, I so long for your trust that I'm going to send you something that you could, from that moment forward, never doubt how good I am and how much I love you. And He sent His Son as a little baby. My brothers and sisters, you cannot hold the child Jesus and not know in the depths of your heart, oh my gosh, God loves me. I mean, how could He love me that much? Is He truly that good? Can I really give my heart to Him and trust Him completely? I was last weekend, I baptized a baby on Sunday afternoon. And it was this couple's first child, a firstborn son. Rather fitting as we celebrate today for the analogy. And the family invited me over to their house for a reception afterwards. They had some family and friends. And the wife was busy, you know, taking care of the baby, getting things prepared. Her husband and I were watching football. And she brings the baby in, their firstborn son, who's just newly baptized. And she hands him to her husband to take care of him for a few minutes. And I remember that moment as he looks down at his son, who's a few weeks old. I don't know if I've ever seen in a man's eyes a more tender and loving gaze. And he looked at me and he said, "There's nothing in my entire life that has brought me greater pride." My brothers and sisters, imagine the pride that God the Father has in His Son, to whom He's given everything. All of the riches, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, every grace of God, God the Father has entrusted to His Son. And then He sent His Son to us. He could not make Himself more vulnerable through any other means. I mean, all of you who are dads here, God the Father could never do anything greater, because He could never make Himself less. But He goes to that extent, the extent of folly, to win our trust. To say, "Now will you finally believe in the love that I have for you, so that you'll put your faith in Me that I might save you." I tried to think of times in my life where someone's put their trust in me, and obviously nothing compares. But I thought of when I was 16, an uncle of mine, I just got my license, we were having a family gathering, and he pulls up in a fairly newly bought Porsche, and he hands me the keys. "You know, man, are you crazy? Are you trusting me that much?" I remember my parents, when I was 18, senior in high school, they had to take my sister to college. They brought the rest of my siblings. I was playing football, so I had to stay back for practice. I remember my dad putting the keys of our house in my hands. That was one he regretted when he got home. There's nothing that could compare. I mean, it would be, if you chose somebody and you gave them access to your bank account, every bank account, every savings, you gave them the keys to your house, your car, all your possessions, you put everything in their hands, that wouldn't even begin to compare to what God the Father has done on this day. I mean, the only thing that could kind of relate is if, and we've heard these stories, where someone says, you know, they might not live, or they're at the point of dying, and they turn to a beloved friend or a sibling and say, "If I die, will you take care of my children for me?" And you go, "Man, you trust me that much?" My brothers and sisters, that's how far God has gone to put His trust in us, so that we will turn and put our trust in Him. And I close with this. Who were the first people to hold the baby Jesus, other than Mary and Joseph? When you had your children, who were the first people you allowed to hold your children? Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, very, very close friends. You know, probably some of you, you probably didn't take the baby out of the house for weeks at a time. And the only people admitted in the house were people you would trust to be around your child. Who does God the Father put His Son into their arms first, after Mary and Joseph? I went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land about a year ago, and I remember when we visited the cave, the site of the manger, and our tour guide was giving a talk, a very faithful Christian who lives in the Holy Land, and he started to speak about the shepherds, those to first visit our Lord and to hold Him. And he said, "Do you know who the shepherds were? Do you know how they were viewed in society? They were the riffraff. They were the lowest, the most despicable, the guys out there. Do you realize what God is saying to us? There is no one whom His Son would ever reject. He comes to the lowest of the low. He wants to redeem us all." My brothers and sisters, on this Christmas, I would encourage you to take a few moments with the child Jesus, and as you hold him, to ask yourself, have I really put my trust in God? Are there ways that I have not yet surrendered because he asks for a decision every Christmas? If I have given myself to you unreservedly, I ask you to do the same. Is there anything that you are holding back from me? Is there any part of you that you are not allowing me to redeem? That's why I've given my son to you.